Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 252 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, joined today by Christian Hoffer and not Megan Peters, who is suffering some post-weekend flu-y stuff.
That's a shame.
The gross sickness stuff.
We are missing out, and I have something cool that I figured that she would enjoy, but I guess she's not here. She will just have to miss on the new tea set that has been announced for release in Japan. A tease, if you will, for later.
Oh, jeez.
I'm all like hopped up on like theater nerd energy from a weekend of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
So
like a full on weekend, way longer than I thought it was.
No, not to immediately derail things, but I guess I will, because why not? Yeah. On Saturday, so they invited a bunch of press people, Dungeons and Dragons invited a bunch of press people to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, the birthplace of Dungeons and Dragons. And on Saturday, they gave us really like nothing to do. And, you know, the show is very much a gaming convention. You go there to play games. You don't go to like do other stuff. And so like the 11 of us are just sitting at lunch with nothing to do. And everyone goes, man, it would have been nice to play some more D&D. And so, like, I kind of, like, look over. I'm like, okay, everyone make a level 5 character. And give me, like, 30 minutes. And so I ran a, like, 4-hour D&D session for...
4 hours?
Yeah, it was a full freaking game. And for 10 people, it was a blast.
That's a lot of people to coordinate.
It was nice because I was killing off a bunch of them. I put a bunch of level 5 characters against a very high level monster with two beams that can kill you instantly, and boy howdy did it. But not to go on.
This is not a Dungeons and Dragons show. If you want more Dungeons and Dragons stuff, you can just go see what Christian and Peter are doing over at the character sheet over on YouTube and check that out. Lots of great tabletop stuff going on over there. This is a show about Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Boy, oh boy, do we have a show for you today.
Yes.
We'll go through some of the news, and then we'll take a quick break. And then at the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Pokemon finally coming down on a fan game. And people have opinions about it. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show.
And also, this entire discussion kind of helps explain why we never talk about fan games here on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, so let's start with some of the news. We'll start with Raikou finally in Pokemon Sleep.
He is. That officially launched today. So hopefully, if you play Pokemon Sleep, you have set up camp in Green Grass Isle, which is where Raikou is appearing. You collect Raikou fur, which seems to be a passive thing, and you can also collect it by completing certain like bonus missions and stuff like that. And if you collect the mane, the fur, you can attract Raikou to your camp using incense, because you can pay for incense to buy Raikou.
How hard do you think this will be?
I have no idea. Let me check.
He says he's playing it. So you're saying this is something that you like, if you wanted to, you could just buy Raikou.
Let me see it actually. I'm sure you can, because you know the game's got to make money somehow. They have to pay for that single developer. I can't imagine there's more than like a couple of people on this team. Let's see here. I mean, I have not collected any new mains. So, how to obtain Raikou mains? I can find Pokemon during sleep research. I can complete event missions. I can receive research from friends. I have no friends in Pokemon Sleep. And by getting certain event bundles. So, yes, if I pay money, I can.
You can buy enough mains, and then it's bound to show up.
Yep, exactly. Cool. I probably am not going to go and get this Pokemon this week, and I'll be sad about it because I like Raikou.
Why not?
Well, it's because
you sleep, right?
I apparently need either friends or money, and I have neither, Jim.
You know where I bet you could find some friends? Wild Podcast has appeared Discord. I bet.
Oh yeah, you're right. I should probably
a good place to find some friends for Pokemon Sleep, Christian.
So you would be pleased to know, Jim, there's currently a Golem on my team of Pokemon.
Hey, all right.
Because Golem has access to the potato, which is one of the few ingredients that I need. I need it. So I have said, Golem, come. Get me potatoes.
I love it. All right. Let's go to some April Pokemon Go events.
Yes,
big shout out to BrokeGamer90 and BoryBlood89. Welcome to the show. Richard, I'm going to give you a heads up. There is a link to the tea set that we're going to talk about in the notes.
Yes.
So go grab that link so we've got a picture that we can show for it for sure.
Pokemon Go events this month introduces Mega Heracross to the game. They released a teaser teasing a mysterious new Mega Evolution that would have been a lot more mysterious if we didn't already know, what the shadows look like. So Mega Heracross is coming to the game. We're getting some stuff. There will be a Mega Heracross raid day on April 13th. There will also be a bug out event focusing on bug type Pokemon, including what I assume will be Heracross, that runs from April 12th through April 17th. There will be a sustainability week, from April 22nd to April 26th, celelebrating sustainability. What else?
Tapu Lulo. I like Mega Heracross. That's a good design.
It's an A+ design. I like that. I'm a fan of Mega Heracross. Let's see here. Mega Aggron will be in Mega Raids. Registeel will be in 5-star raids. Tapu Bulu will be in 5-star mega raids. And there will be a hatch day. Just a friendly little hatch day. Also, if you care, nope, that's already passed. Never mind. Don't.
What did we miss?
There was the raid. So the raid day was last month, was last weekend, and it featured Primal Groudon.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm sorry.
You mentioned that though.
Maybe.
Because I feel like we talked about Groudon.
Also, fun fact: if you go to Indonesia between May 11th and May 12th, you will have a chance to collect both flying Pikachu and a new Pikachu wearing a shirt.
Oh.
A shirt wearing Pikachu. So, Jim, you can go to Indonesia on May 11th.
Indonesian listeners to hit me up.
And, yeah.
Let me get that trade action in.
Yeah. So go forth and go to Indonesia, Jim. Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got? And then we've got some Scarlet and Violet events coming up.
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet also has some events. It does. It's true. So we just had an event that was, Brute Bonnet and Iron Hands. Iron Hands, of course, is one of the dominant Pokemon in the current metagame, so that's great. And they have announced this weekend, and this weekend alone, babies are invading Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, because it's Easter. So that's what I'm thinking.
That makes sense.
I think that's what we're going with. So in
you know what, now that I think of it, like Easter is kind of like the perfect time to like bring out baby Pokemon.
Because Easter is a time of rebirth and renewal.
Sure, I was thinking more just like cute animals like chickadees and
That's because
baby bunnies.
Spring is when those start popping up.
I know, exactly.
That's springtime. That's why chicks are associated with Easter. It's because chicks, I don't know.
Where are you going, Christian? I'm with you on this ride.
This is a children's podcast. Through the mysteries of Pokemon eggs, chicks are born.
Look, I really just want to get to the meat of the of our discussion in the second half of the show because I have so many thoughts. So we're just rolling on to it. Next thing is the aforementioned tease from just earlier in the show. Looks like we are getting a new Poltergeist and Sinistee tea set. Richard, let's pull up that image because it's pretty sweet. Christian, what do we know about this?
Absolutely nothing. We've seen this image.
So this could even just be something a fan made.
So no, this is an official thing. So PokeShopper, which PokeShopper has been like dormant for a while, and suddenly it sprung back to life last month. And so they've been releasing. So PokeShopper is best known for it. Really has like a handle on Japanese upcoming Japanese stuff, and so. One of those is this is coming out. This is a coming out. Let me see if I can hunt it down. I believe it's coming out in April, but we don't have a price for it, unfortunately. It's May 3rd. This is part of a Pokemon Center Cafe campaign. Other things that will be featured in it include there is a Pokeball themed tea kettle. There is a pillow. There is a wrap. So like, so in Japan, there is like an entire art, and I forget what the name of the art is, but there's an entire art of wrapping your shopping stuff and like and instead of and like using it as a bag. And there's like literally like an entire like system of doing this. And like there are special like basically like reusable fabrics that you use to like wrap up your groceries, wrap up your lunchbox. And so they have one of those. There is also a coin purse. There is a whisk. And
there is also a Pokeball tea kettle, which I just sent over to Richard. Hopefully we can get it up. This is incredible looking. And you're right. I actually didn't realize like that. There it is. Look at that thing. I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize PokeShopper went into hibernation. And now that you've told me that it's back, I went like just scrolling through to see all the stuff that I've missed. Man, Japan gets all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah. Also, Olimac in the comment section. Yes, it is for Shiki. Thank you. So that is what that is what's called, you know, and it's really funny because like that is now becoming like really prevalent over, you know, here in the West where there's like an entire like cottage thing because it's reusable. So it's like an alternative to like those like cheapo reusable bags.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Man, there's a bunch of cute. There's a like a furry Snorlax plush coming. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Quaxly with bad hair?
With the bad hair Quaxly. Yeah. Check out PokeShopper over on X. It's exactly how you think it would be spelled. PokeShopper. Lots of cool. If you want to see how the other half lives, that's a great way to see just all what we're missing out. But then there's also some stuff like there's a report on some plushes that are coming to the Pokemon Center and stuff like that. So great resource to get a pulse on all things Pokemon gear. Speaking of, I mean, it's since we're talking about it, I might as well just take a quick peek where the PokemonCenter.com is all in on temporal forces right now. So that's basically all we're getting. They did announce a new jumbo Pikachu plush. I forgot.
Oh yeah, it's 26 inches.
Yeah, 26 inches. Which is
as a meaty boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and they added some new pixel pins. They added a Togepi. That's cute. Laying down Snorlax.
Nope. And it looks because like no Monday is complete without a brief
without perusal. Just a quick look at the Pokemon's the PokemonCenter.com. There's great some Tatsugiri plush stuff and Terapagos, all cool stuff to check out. Apparently some new hats as well. Man, I am impressed at how quickly the Pokemon Company puts out new product. I mean, like legitimate, like it started as a joke. It's like, oh, let's just go look at the Pokemon Center. But literally every time we go, there's like something new each week.
Well, yeah.
That's a robust.
Did you see the Bidoof trucker hat? Like I'm not a trucker hat fan, but I was, I don't think I could press the buy button quick enough.
Yeah, look, you could right now get one Yamper Pokemon plush for all eligible purchases of $40 or more shipped to the U.S. and Canada. And there's a GIF on the page right now of a Yamper shaking its butt at us. It's adorable.
And they don't even pay us for this.
No, they don't. They really shouldn't.
This is just, you know, Christian and Jim vamping for time.
No, I'm not even vamping for time. This is Christian and Jim going like, man, I love this stuff.
Can you just imagine, like, you know, there's probably people out there who have like no kids and make like $100,000 a year.
Right. So they could just pull it up and they go, what? You know what? I want that. And boom, it is at their doorstep in 2 days. Cause that's how fast the Pokemon Center ships stuff.
We call those dink baps. Double income, no double kids, income, no but kids. A Pokemon addiction. So BAPA.
Anyway. All right. Let's take our quick break and then we got to talk about the hot topic of fan made Pokemon games. All that and more when we're back in 60 seconds.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right. We are back.
We are.
But. Or not but. No, and.
Back.
And. We are going to talk about the and Christian kind of alluded to at the beginning. You know, this is a topic that we get asked about quite a bit, but don't really talk about, mainly because of kind of what happened just recently. A decade long Pokemon fan game has finally kind of been taken out.
Well, so it's not technically a fan game. It is a fan game forum. So sure. This so last week, Relic Castle, which is a, you know, it's a forum that was all based around the creating and sharing of Pokemon fan games, was basically just, nuked from orbit. And the folks confirmed that they who run that site confirmed that they got a DMCA takedown notice. And that's what shut it down. Now, Relic Castle, you know, skirted around the rules a bit. They never hosted any fan games.
Right.
They never used. You know, they never.
There was never any official anything on the site, right? Like art assets or whatever, right? And anytime that there was something, they usually were able to kind of get around it. And this is kind of inside baseball and like how websites work and whatever. Over UGC, user generated content, usually affords you some leeway. If something gets uploaded and then you're given, you know, basically a fair amount of time to notice it, get rid of it or whatever. But because it's not something that you as the website host are knowingly uploading to your servers and to your site to for profit, basically.
Yep.
Right. And so so all that said, like this was a, I mean, look, this is a big hub. Like this was the hub.
It was like the place, like, you know, and the thing is, you know, a lot of folks that have been, you know, and, you know, kind of taking a step back, Pokemon fan stuff and fan games specifically have been around
since the dawn of time,
for as long as I can remember.
Yep.
Basically, since I was on the internet as a, you know, wide-eyed teen, there have been unofficial versions of Pokemon games. I will go as far to say Pokemon Go kind of started off, you know, because it was an April Fool's Day thing where you found the Pokemon. And, you know, I'm assuming that Google got permission from the Pokemon, you know, Pokemon company to do that. Right. But, you know, that is just like the largest example of that. And often these games kind of exist in a morally gray area, you know, because, you know, they're Pokemon games, but they are not owned by the Pokemon company, and they use assets often from the Pokemon games. And so they've always had a weird spot in the community because a lot of people have played them, like, you know, even stuff like, you know, because there are games, there are Pokemon fan games that have like news locks built in.
Yep.
You know, some of them are feature brand new regions with fan-made Pokemon, other features, you know, cool new mechanics like, you know, Pokefusion. And some are just, you know, I want to build my own Pokemon game. With the existing
I almost
Pokemon.
Wonder if the stuff like, you know, Pokefusion, like if that, like, I have to imagine their sites are on there.
sites are set on there, on those, the sites that do them, the games that implement them, and all that.
So it was not too long ago that Don McGowan,
yep,
who is the chief legal officer for the Pokemon Company, talked about how fan sites, you know, how fan stuff gets taken down. Mm-hmm. And so basically what would happen is when a fan game got really big, people would talk about it and inevitably people would write about it or it would go viral.
Yep.
And that is how the Pokemon Company started noticing these things. And that is how, like, the fan projects. Now, that doesn't necessarily, you know, mean that that the Pokemon Company could shut them down.
Sure.
Because there's such a thing as free use.
Yep.
But if
if a game that you like or whatever ticks enough boxes off what they're able to go after, like it's mm-hmm. it's gone. Like I equate kind of the underground nature of Pokemon fan games to this is going to really date me for a second, but tape trading for right, where more home video releases for pay-per-views or independent shows or things like that on a wrestling fan front didn't really exist, and it existed by people recording stuff on television. You know, you get that warning that at the start of every pay-per-view or whatever that says, don't do this or the FBI will raid your house. But like, you know, tape trading was a very real thing, whether like you had a pay-per-view or something like, you know, you would meet at where I saw it the most happen was at like when wrestlers were coming into town for signings, right? At like flea markets and things like that. Now wrestling has become this big thing that, you know, big wrestlers don't sign in flea markets anymore, but that's really where you saw a lot of it. And that's actually how I got into ROH for a lot. And so the same thing kind of happens for these underground Pokemon games where, you know, Reddit used to be a pretty big, and I guess kind of is. I don't use that as much as now. It feels like there's a lot of discords and stuff that surround a lot of this stuff. And usually, if you are in a Discord for one of them, you're learning about others. Right. From the people who are playing this. Right. Like there's that said. Right. Like Christian and I know of some of these that exist, but we hesitate sometimes to bring them up on the show, mainly because not because we're like, you know, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to narc, but also at the same time, right. Like, you know, that we don't want to bring undue force or distress to, you know, to someone truly trying to just kind of be a fan. Right. There are insidious people though who are going who go and make these fan games and for, you know, trying to make a profit off this stuff and you know, whatever. And like that is a totally different bucket can of worms than what we're kind of talking about.
And here, those people are always going to get nuked from orbit. You know, like I would, during the early days of our Pokemon coverage, I would often get into arguments with the gaming editor at the time, who was a guy named Matt Hayes, great guy, did a lot of, made a lot of smart decisions on coverage. One of the things that I strongly disagreed with him was because he would always write about these fan games and he would always, Christian, do you want to write about this? And I go, no, I'm like, we shouldn't. And he's like, oh, but you know, it's kind of picked up. And inevitably those games would get shut down and taken out. And that's the reason why I don't like covering them. Because I know they are a passion of love and hard work.
Yep.
And I also know that if the Pokemon Company has to take notice of it,
yep,
there's only one inevitable thing that will happen. And that is they will get shut down. And, you know, you can't blame the Pokemon Company for it. Right. You know, because when you don't protect your copyright and you don't protect your trademarks, then anyone can use them. And, you know, that's how it works in court. If you don't protect your copyright, then right. when then you go to sue somebody for getting too big, you know, the court will say, well, you know, everyone else, you've let everyone else use it. What makes these people the exception?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
One of the biggest ones that, and I'm only mentioning this one because it is truly one of the biggest ones, and I'm kind of shocked that it's still.
This is Jim getting ready to shoot a bazooka at it.
Is, well, no, have you heard of I have to imagine you've heard of Pokemon Insurgents, right?
Have I? Yes.
Oh, wow. Really? No? Yeah, no?
I've heard of it. Of course I've heard of it.
No, that's what I mean. But like, so like Pokemon Insurgents is a really interesting scenario where like it is almost a fully baked new game in a sense, right? But like the story, I think the thing that like where it has garnered its fan base is that the story in this game is decidedly a bit more mature. And it, you know, I say mature, not like edgelordy mature, but like there, it is just, you know, it is, it, you know, it has, it's a bit grittier and things like that. And it's really interesting. And like the, you know, the fact that that one's been, I mean, that one has been around for a very, very long time, but then there's other ones that I think like have stopped being developed. Like I remember there was, Ash Gray, I think was one that, that doesn't exist anymore. There were a few of them. Oh God, what was the one that was, it was like Pokemon Adventures, but it wasn't Pokemon Adventures. It was like Pokemon something.
Let's see.
No, I don't remember. But anyway, but like that one was another one that was like, that was one of like the early ones because it was basically a port of Leaf Green when no one could get Leaf
Green. There's Pokemon Prism.
Oh yeah, Prism. I forgot about Prism.
That one, I remember that was a big one. My hilarious, some of my favorite stuff is like, you know, when people like list them, and Pokemon Insurgents obviously is like a huge one.
Yeah.
You know, there was a Pokemon Phoenix Rising that was, you know, and a lot of these are just like old school ones. You know, the Pokemon Clover is one that's popular and is really bad because, you know, Pokemon Clover, the entire thing is, you know, 4chan inspired. If you don't know what 4chan is, don't look it up.
but there was, I mean, I remember that there was one, it was like Pokemon, like Plutonium or something. That was like,
Uranium, Pokemon Uranium.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was the one that like, it didn't even get released. Like it got taken down before release. Now, obviously it still made its way out, but didn't get like its official release even before coming out, which like that one I remember was wild.
Yeah. That one was cool because that was like a, that was released right around like the funny thing was that was released in 2016, which if I could recall.
Right. And just so, cause I know there's some folks asking in the chat. So like no game, we're not talking about a game that has been shut down, but we're talking about Relic Castle, which is, which was basically the biggest gathering point.
So
for fans to talk about it.
Pokemon Uranium, by the way, one of the reasons that one got nuked as quickly as it did, was because, if you remember, Pokemon Sun and Moon, which came out the same year as Pokemon Uranium, was where regional variants debuted. And Pokemon, you know, Pokemon Uranium featured variants of existing Pokemon too via like, you know, like mutations. So it was like, oh, this Charizard now has two heads because of, you know, nuclear, you know, mutations.
Yeah.
Like Fallout.
Yeah. And again, right. Like one that is, it clearly goes against the more innocent nature of what the Pokemon Company tries to accomplish here.
Yeah.
But I think also too, like one of the other things that I think that even the that lawyer had mentioned was even people trying to create tabletop stuff, right? Like they would see, I think he mentioned like they would look at how Kickstarters would do, right? Like for even some games that had a more physical component to them, right? That like if, you know, I have to imagine if it went over a certain amount dollar wise, right? That they were like, well, okay, now we got to go after this one. But if it was like, you know, hey, we need, you know, $1,000 to get some of this stuff printed or whatever, it wouldn't necessarily be on their radar. But like it's just one of those things where it's a very weird, I feel like the gray area in this stuff grows and contracts kind of, you know, over the course of time, right? And over the years, where sometimes they will allow more things to happen and then be like, all right, now it's getting a little too big. We gotta cull it, for lack of a better term, you know?
When things get too big, you know, like that's the thing. It's like it is inevitably going to just get kind of you know, just it's gonna get nuked. I have nothing else to really say, like, but you know, and that's like the thing, and it sucks because a lot of these projects are really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. But you know, I think that, you know, in the spirit of like the grassroots natures of these things, like, you know, like I said, we very rarely discuss fan made projects, and this is the reason why. This is literally the reason why we don't do it. Not because we don't like.
We did spend a whole episode talking about Power World.
Right. That is the other thing,
right?
I think that Power World has,
yep,
you know, like that. I think it has kind of dredged that back up again, and I don't think they have much of a choice, you know.
I think that's it, right? I think there was a fair amount that Pal World got away with, and so as a way to just kind of be like, well, no, we will come after you.
Yeah,
things like this happen, you know, which is a shame for,
yeah, it's
for everyone.
But yeah.
Advanced Adventure. That was it. That was the
one. Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah.
That I've never played any of these.
I mean, sure.
as a steward of the Pokemon.
Never mind. I was going to go into a whole, make a joke about emulators and ROMs, but I just won't. I just remember discovering. I remember discovering those as a kid for the very first time and being like, whoa.
I remember with emulators, one of the reasons why I always struggled with emulators is because back in the days where, you know, now Nintendo has gotten a lot better with this, where you can get like a lot of Nintendo games on the Nintendo Switch. I don't need an emulator. Yep. Right. But I remember back before those days, the problem was, you know, since it's all keyboard based, just couldn't do it. Like, you know, I just it was awful.
Yeah, I remember. That was one of the only ways I could play I could beat Battletoads was playing on a keyboard. Couldn't do it on a controller.
So my emulator story is this, and this is a old school video games and also hilarious. When I was a child, we had the Nintendo. There were a series of games released for the Nintendo called Ultima. Mm. And my father played them. I had no realization. I played them as well. And I loved them. They're great games. Really great classic fantasy RPGs, turn-based fantasy. I had no clue that they were also computer games. And that those Nintendo games were just remastered ports, and they were literally remastered. They feature entirely different like graphics, but it is a remaster of like Ultima 4, 5, and 6. And I had no idea about it. And I loved those games. And so in college, when I discovered the emulators, I'm like, I'm going to go and play Ultima. And that is when I discovered that there was an entire franchise of Ultima games that date back to the 70s. Ultima was like one of the first video games. And here I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this obscure video game series called Ultima. And I was just like, I don't think I've ever felt so ashamed of anything video game related in my life than when I Googled Ultima for the first time and realized I could have been playing the stinking games all along because they were PC games. Freshman in college, it's going, oh my god, I'm such a idiot.
That's so funny. I love that. I mean, look, honestly, it was that stuff that actually that like exposed me to a ton of franchises that I just had no idea about. Because I, my thing is that I had. You want to hear a real sad story?
Always.
I got a Super Nintendo for Christmas one year. Okay. And I thought, oh man, I can't wait. And I guess one of my grandparents mentioned to my parents how evil video games were.
Oh, so no.
Here I am, right? Just got a brand new SNES for Christmas. And legitimately 3 days later, my parents returned it to Toys R Us. And I didn't get a console. I didn't get a single console again until my Game Boy Pocket. And that was when Pokemon came out. I got it because I had a cousin who showed me Pokemon and I wanted to get it because my cousin had it. My parents were like, well, a Game Boy shouldn't be too bad. And then it wasn't until I guess the N64 that I got another system, which was a decent enough way away.
So, Jim, yes. Now I have to ask you the very important question, the incredibly important question, knowing that about your backstory. Did you play the second most popular game ever to be made for the Nintendo? I'm going to tell you what it is, and you're going to laugh your butt off.
Okay.
There was in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, there was a Old Testament video game that was like a bootleg. It wasn't even like, it was not an official like copyrighted licensed product. And it was very much, I'm going to pull up this, because I have so many, memories of this Nintendo. So Old Testament Nintendo. So this was, it's called Bible Adventures. Okay. And it was released in 1991. And it was basically a knockoff of Super Mario Brothers 2. and it features three subgames, one based on Noah's Ark, one based on Baby Moses, and one based off David David and Goliath. And because of how, like, because it was sold in every Catholic bookstore in the United States. You know, so it sold like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of copies. They had to find a way because there's actually like things that prevent like bootleg games. Like you weren't allowed to play like unlicensed Nintendo games, and they figured out a way around it where like when you put in the cartridge, because it didn't look like every other Nintendo cartridge, you stuck it in and it would like basically zap the control chip that prevented the lockout, which would like force it to reboot, and then it would load up the game while this thing was like reloading, which was like actually really clever. But I've always wondered like how many other people have played that, because I played the snot out of that game because I didn't have a lot of Nintendo games. Because they were all, you know, for the same reason, terrible because, you know, they're very sinful games, the whole lot of them. You know, right. Good Christian Holy boys.
Man. Yep. Nope.
I can't. Are you looking this up?
No, I'm not. No, I was actually opening up the rest of my Temple Forces cards because I forgot we had those. So let's go through some of them. This is the last of the batch I got. So we've got Bedlam, Heatmore, another Melmetal, Grubbin, Cottony, another Bramblegast. One of the toy looking Mancinos, Crokinjaw.
Ooh, oh, there you go.
Terastalize, Farigiraf.
Yeah.
EX card. That's a pretty cool looking one.
Great Tusk
Reversal. Oh, that's a cool.
Yeah. Oh, the ancients and the futures look really cool. Yeah. Like even in reverse holofoil.
Mudsdale. Another.
Yeah, let's see, look at that.
Oh,
there you go.
That's fancy. Boom.
That is an A-spec Master Ball.
Like all pink and foily. Oh, that's a cool one.
That's a rare card.
Is it?
That's pretty sweet. Oh, yeah.
I'll say, well, there's only a few left. Let's just go through these and then we'll go through.
Yeah.
Tomies.
There's
Iron Valiant.
Graphic
Metang. I think there's only one left. Oh,
there you go. A walking wake. That's the full art variant.
Yeah. Nice.
Look at that.
Not too bad. This has been have you opened any yet, Christian?
No. So I'm still waiting for my box to show up. So I ordered them as I always do from the Pokemon Center, and I got like the shipping notification. And it just says label created. So they must have run out and are waiting for a restock or something.
The thing I've heard in chat, if you're here, I'd ask Calder, but I don't think Calder's with us today. A lot of folks are saying that this set, the pulls for this set are better for players than they are for collectors.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so it's got collectors a little bit in a bit of a tizzy. But for folks playing, they're like, oh man, no, we're getting some great cards. So I'll be curious to see, because I think it just came out this past weekend, this past week. And so we had to give it another week or so before to see, you know, once people just start ripping into it. Semantic said, I got to post the pick in Discord, but he got a purple Iron Tusk with that. That's pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean, like, look, we got some pretty sweet pulls out of this box. I'm not, you know, super unhappy with one of the five most expensive
cards in the set. So
yeah,
can't complain too much about that. That Gouging Fire, which is a great name for a ancient Pokemon. I wish the future Pokemon had like cool names like the ancient Pokemon.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, let's do the Pokemon Fact of the Week, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, the Pokemon Fact of the Week. So, Combee. I never liked Combee. Let me preface it by saying that. And that was one of those Pokemon where when I was like in exile from Pokemon, I would look at like Pokemon. Like,
when I was in exile from Pokemon.
And I'd see Combee and I'd go, that's a stupid looking Pokemon. There's a reason why Combee looks so stupid. The original design was three larvae stuck in a honeycomb. And so there's actually a beta design of Combee that has been shared on the internet officially by the Pokemon company, which shows Combee with like thoraxes or abdomens. I always forget what you call it when there's only two parts to a bug and stuff. One.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it kind of hangs out of the back.
But isn't that the case with Combee now? Like the bottom one?
It is.
The bottom
one have it? It's still three large. No. I mean, they're it's much grosser.
Because I say Combee now, the bottom one has, for lack of a better term, a butt.
Now I need to double check. Yeah, it does. But like this was like more floppy.
Oh, okay.
Like let me. I'm gonna send it over so that people can like look at it. Give me 1 second. I'm putting in there. So this is what Combi used to look like. Richard, I did share it over in our Slack for you to pull up. So this is what Combi originally was designed at, and they had to like soften it up to make it less like gross, because apparently three larvae jammed inside a honeycomb doesn't inspire like cutesy.
I can't tell if their mouths are open or if they have pacifiers in their mouth.
I think they had pacifiers.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Because they're babies.
Yeah. Yeah. The larvae is a little
and gross. And
but it's, you know, just, it's so funny that like they, I guess I didn't realize how often Pokemon, and like this should come as no surprise now that I think about it, because Diglett and Dugtrio are basically the same thing, but like when and like Execute, whatever, but like when a Pokemon is actually a group of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like it's a singular Pokemon, but it is a group.
Yeah, and Ken Sugimori, when they first submitted this, Ken Sugimori was like, "This is gross. This is disgusting."
You're talking about Combi?
This is a bunch of larvae jammed in a honeycomb that can fly. This is unnatural, disgusting, and gross. I love it, and let's figure out a way to sell like billions of plushes based around it. And so, you know, can you just imagine being like the designer who, like, you know, is in charge of the second draft, like who gets the art notes for this thing? Like, you know, you get like, it's like, here's three slimy bee larvae jammed into a honeycomb that can fly. Make it presentable and like, you know, able to be sold.
Boss says, take this, make it cute.
Make it cute. You're looking at the art notes and like, yes, maybe. Replace the pacifiers with a smile. Make it a little bit less obvious that they're larvae. Just, you know, they're smaller bugs. Make it kind of like make it look like maybe it's the honeycombs themselves that have faces.
I'll tell you what, though. Vespiquen, I love Vespiquen's design. Like, yeah. They're great in this game, in this franchise. Because, like, I love Beedrill's design. Beedrill is one of my favorite bug Pokemon. Period.
So here's the gross thing about Vespiquen. Vespiquen's got something up her skirt, and it's grubs. Oh, the answer is grubs. So that honeycomb skirt, like the Pokemon company, the Pokedex, right, explicitly states
that's
that
where
when
Kobe comes from.
Yeah, when Vespiquen is in danger, the grubs in its honeycomb bite back.
Oh.
Which means it's got a bunch of
Combis.
Got a bunch, yeah. Just lurking up there. And
so nasty. Not a skirt, actual body parts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, man. There's some like hidden eldritch horror for you. You know, just remember that whenever you see a Vespiquen,
it houses its colony
around
in cells in its body.
Yeah, can you just imagine, like Vespiquen, like an actual Vespiquen, like floating around, Combis like occasionally like plopping out on the ground behind it from its combs. Yeah.
It's
just my goal is just to gross out Jim.
Oh man. Well, whatever. It's a design. Like I said, it's a design. I love. I love the Vespiquen that sits on the map for Why am I blanking on it? Why am I having the largest brain fart? The League of Legends Pokemon game.
Unite.
Unite. Yeah, Unite. I love Vespiquen on the Unite map.
About Unite, right?
I don't know why I had such a freaking brain fart for that one. But yeah.
Oh my god, Jim, what? Pokemon Unite. I have a really hilarious story to tell you about Pokemon Unite.
Okay.
So at this press thing, I met somebody who technically kind of worked on the game.
Oh.
And I found out how the sausage is made. And now I'm going to share it with all of you to get really vague. What they did, they didn't technically work on the game. They worked on the trailers for the game.
Oh.
And his job and the job of several other people was to control the Pokemon to go and do the things so that they could capture it and stick it on, you know, put it in the trailers. So they would get like instructions like, OK, Snorlax, we want you to walk into the center of the screen and then this, mm-hmm. you know, Charizard go and attack him with this move. And, you know, they literally had that was like a full like full time gig. It was like a contract gig, of course.
Sure.
But it's like somebody like I was talking to somebody's like, oh, yeah, that's what I used to do. It was, you know, Pokemon Unite. I did the commercials. I produced the commercials. I'm like, how does one produce the commercials? And they're like, yeah, we'd get like directions like, OK, now walk to this area because they didn't have like a UX.
Right.
So they have to like have matches.
Yeah.
They'd have to do like matches where, you know, like, OK, Snorlax, you go to there. So they'd have to like play through the game. You know, to
and
get,
then
to
get the camera in.
To get the camera in because it was all screen captures. Isn't that fascinating? I was like, what? It is. I thought it was pretty cool.
I love it. All right. Well, with that said, we got to wrap this puppy up. Thank you, everyone, for hanging around for this week. We'll be back same time, same place next week. If you want to know where to find the show, we do the show live. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/comicbook, or you can watch us on Facebook and or on X. Otherwise, the best way to get involved with the show is head on over to that Discord. You'll find a Discord link in the episode description, the podcast description, and then our pinned post over on X at PokemonPodCB. Want a further conversation with us? You can find me at Jim Viscardi. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. Until next week, folks, may the shiny luck be in your favor. We'll catch you then. See ya.